Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Issues pertaining to riba and mortgages in the West. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا تقبلا أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى اللهم آت نفوسنا التقوى وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها صلى الله على محمد أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's very nice to see all of you. I welcome you, inshallah, to this short talk of Bismillah Ta'ala. We ask Allah to make it beneficial for you. And the issue that often comes up regarding Muslims living in the West is it permissible, according to the Sharia, for a Muslim to take a riba-based loan to buy a home, to buy a house? Is this allowed according to Sharia for a Muslim who wishes to purchase a house living in the West to approach a bank and to receive a loan from the bank in order to purchase a house and to use the house itself as the collateral, as the mortgaged item, so that a person, when they want to purchase a house, they find a house that they want to buy and then they approach a bank who acts as an intermediary. And the bank, they put forward the capital to buy the house, and the person who is called the purchaser, he has a contract with the bank to pay back the price of the house plus the interest over a certain number of years. And the house itself acts as the collateral for the loan. So if somebody is unable to pay off the loan, then at any time the bank can repossess the house and take over the house back from the purchaser. Is this type of loan permissible in Islamic law? So here with the ulama, they say this is the exact example of riba. This is the clear and perfect example of riba. Taking a loan and paying it back with an addition. With an addition to the cost that is paid up front. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, prohibiting riba, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah has permitted buying and selling and has prohibited the riba. And Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah, He destroys the riba and He blesses the sadaqat. So riba is a major sin. The riba, the interest and the usury on the loans, is a major, major sin. One of the biggest sins that the Prophet ﷺ, he warned his ummah about, and it's mentioned and prohibited in many places in the Quran. And so the person, if they have this loan, then this is a prohibited loan. It's not allowed to take out the loan to buy the house. Now some people, they say that there's a durura. The issue has come up where some people have asked for a fatwa in the case of a durura, a necessity, where they say that there's no houses to rent, or very, very few houses to rent, and there's a grave necessity. There's a grave necessity for the family. It would be very difficult to rent a house. They put so many conditions on the house, etc., etc. And they asked this to some of the bodies, and some of them issued a fatwa saying that it's permissible in such a case to take out a loan for a durura, a necessity, for the house, for the one that one is going to live in. Not a business house or a business, but for one's own personal home. And the ulama, they, Dar al-Iftah in Mecca, Medina, they responded to this ruling and they said that this is not correct. That there's not a sufficient darura to require somebody to buy a house in riba. And one of the ulama who authored the response, his name is Sheikh Salah Al-Sawi. He's one of the scholars of what they call fiqh of minorities. Fiqh al-aqalniyat. He lives in the United States some time of the year. And he's familiar with the situation here. And he's also a recognized scholar by many of the top scholars of the world. They refer to him in this matter. And they said that he wrote a response to those who issued a fatwa saying it's allowed to take the river-based mortgage on the houses. And he said it's not a zuhura, there's not enough of a necessity. And this ruling, which they said is based on the Hanafi fiqh, he pointed out that it's not correct, it's not strong, and not binding. So the issue of buying the house on the mortgage is considered prohibited by the scholars of the Dar al-Ifta, Mecca and Medina. Now, so then we have another issue, which is what if somebody already bought a house on the river-based loan, and then he found out or he realized he did something haram? What does a person do in this case? Does he have to sell the house? Does he have to move out? Does he have to refinance the house using the so-called Islamic, quote-unquote Islamic banks? What does he have to do? And so the ulama, they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Which basically means that whoever receives the warning from Allah and he didn't know before and he stopped taking the riba, then whatever he did before is binding. فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And it's up to Allah to forgive him for what happened in the past. And what this means, basically, the interpretation that the scholars, they say, is that the contract that was done with riba in it, the contract itself of buying and selling is valid. It doesn't invalidate the contract. The fact that there's riba in the contract does not invalidate the contract. So a person who finds out and he realizes, I took this loan, I bought this house based on riba, do I have to get rid of the house? The scholars say no. You don't have to get rid of the house because the contract, the buying and selling portion of the contract is valid. What is invalid is the riba that they are charging in addition to the paying back of the loan. And since one cannot get out of that, then they should try their best to get out of paying the riba, but obviously if they cannot do that, then they're compelled to do that and they will not be punished for that, provided that they stop taking the riba-based loans in the future. So this is a very important concept, that if somebody bought a car or they bought a house on riba and they realized that it was haram, they do not have to sell the house. And they don't have to refinance it with the so-called Islamic banks, especially since there's a big question mark with regard to the so-called Islamic banks. The way that they get their funding and the way that they do the transactions, there's a lot of concern and questioning about it. So in this case, the ulama say that they don't have to sell the house, they don't have to take out a loan to get rid of the other loan, but they should just make, what they have to do is make tawbah for what happened. Fantaha. They have to stop doing the riba in as much as they're able to. And whatever happened in the past, the contract is valid. This is a very important issue here. Because what happened in the Jahiliyyah, the people had bought and sold things on riba. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said the riba is cancelled out, but he didn't make them return the items that they bought. You know, the things like Abu al-Mufadda, the Prophet ﷺ's, Abbas's uncle had bought some things on riba. The Prophet ﷺ, he cancelled out the riba, but he didn't tell him you have to return the items that you bought, etc. The contracts themselves are valid. But the riba that's on top of it, that is what is prohibited and that's what's haram. So the person basically, the ruling is that the scholars gave is that they can keep the house. This is also by the Dar al-Ifta, Mecca. So it's not, the person does not have to refinance the house. The third issue that comes up, somebody wants to buy a house from you. You're selling your house. Most of the people that buy the houses, if not all of them, they buy it using the river-based loan. Right? You have a house, you want to sell it to somebody, the person coming to buy the house, he is going to take a loan from the bank and purchase the house from you. So is it haram for you to sell the house to that person?
No.
Is it haram? It is not haram to sell to that person. Because the prohibited transaction is between them and the bank. And you're selling to that person, you are not involved in that riba-based transaction. In fact, you don't even witness it. You just receive the payment for your house, and you give the house. They say if you want to be extra careful, especially if it's like a Muslim or somebody like that, you should warn them. Say, don't take riba, it's haram. But if they do it anyway, and they come to you with a check, and the check is a cash, you know, it's a payment, and you're selling your house, then it's allowed to sell to somebody in that situation. One would not incur any sin for selling to a person who got their financing from a prohibited means. And this is because they say, they call this in Islamic law, تغير الجهة. The direction has changed. You know, they did something prohibited. They got the money in through a prohibited transaction. But now they're giving it to you. The money they're giving you from them to you is halal, the way they're giving it to you. It's a buying and selling transaction. Where they got the money from is haram. And this is the evidence that the scholars they give was... Does anybody know the evidence they give for that? Did you have people who dealt with riba?
Jahiliyyah.
Even after Jahiliyyah.
The
Yahud. Did the Prophet ﷺ buy and sell from the Yahud?
Yes.
He did. Yeah. He dealt with them. He accepted gifts from them even. A Jewish lady gave him a sheep. Remember, a poisoned sheep. And so he accepted, and he did, and also we know that he bought, he took loans from them, a regular loan that was without interest. And we mentioned yesterday, the Jew gave him the money and he demanded it back early. He even choked the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he forgave, he told him, give him the money. And it was the cause of the Jew accepting Islam. So he did accept the money from the Jewish people. And he also bought and sold from them. There was a Jew who sold him some food. The Prophet ﷺ gave him his shield. And then when he passed away, the shield was still with the Jew. And one of the shuyukh, he mentioned this, and he said this was as if, this was in the end of the Prophet's life, as if he was showing us through his action that even though we're supposed to be different than the people of the book and not imitate them, but we can still deal with them in buying and selling. As if he was showing us that through his example. He could have gotten food from any of the Sahaba. 100,000 Sahaba, they could have given him the food. But as if he wanted to give an example to show that it's allowed. So buying and selling from a person who might have engaged in a prohibited transaction like usury, we're allowed to still buy and sell from them, inshallah ta'ala. So the person who takes the riba loan and he buys a house, this is allowed to sell it to that person, inshallah ta'ala. The last issue, inshallah, is the issue of somebody giving you a gift. It's not related to buying and selling houses, but what if somebody gives you a gift of money, or somebody, you inherit money from a person who might have dealt with riba, or might have made some of their money from a type of riba? Are we allowed to accept a gift or accept money from somebody who dealt with the riba? And this goes back to the same issue, the taghayyur al-jiha, that the direction has changed. That person who earned the money, he might have earned it through a prohibited means, but when he gives it to you, it becomes, the sin is on him. The transaction that you're engaging with is halal. So the sin remains with that person, and the money transaction between you and him is halal. And again, because the Prophet ﷺ, he dealt with the Jews, he accepted gifts from the Jews, he accepted the invitation when they invited him for food, etc. So this would be, this is something that is permissible, inshallah ta'ala. So any questions, inshallah, about the issue? Yes.
So, accepting the money, what about like, there's so much, so many Muslims I'm talking about, not Muslims.
Yes.
Like they do riba, Hamar, and all this stuff. And they give and carry.
Yes.
How that
will change? Okay. Somebody, they earn their money from a mixture, like Hamar or riba, and they want to give money in charity. This is what they have to do to make up for that, the prohibited money that they earned. They have to purify their wealth. So if they earn something from interest, like from a bank, say they had money in a bank account, and they earn interest on that bank account, they have to take that interest and give it away in charity. They can give it to a masjid, they say use it for the general running of the masjid, you know, like the toilet paper or things like that, you know, to run the masjid. Or they can give it to somebody who needs it. But the question is, will they be rewarded for that? No. Because they're just getting rid of the haram. So they get rid of their sin, alhamdulillah. But they won't earn any additional reward on top of that. Because they're just getting rid of the prohibited wealth. Inshallah. Is it allowed to accept charity? Maybe that's another question. Can we accept charity from somebody who, say he's known to run a bar, and he comes and he says, I want to give charity to the masjid. So here the ulama, they said that it would be, from a fifth point of view, that it would be allowed to take that money, but from the position of da'wah, you might want to rebuke that person. You know, somebody's earning from haram and he wants to invite you to his house to eat. You can go there. If you eat the food, the sin is on him. You know, where, as long as you're not sure that he stole the food or something like that, the sin would be on that person. But if you want to rebuke that person to show that, you know, you're doing something that's not good, and especially if he's doing it openly and publicly, and then if we try to rebuke the person by not answering his invitation, it might make him change his ways. So from that angle, some of the ulama said that it might be recommended to avoid, you know, seeking charity from them. Inshallah ta'ala.
Sheikh, like a Muslim praying five times a day.
Yes.
And worshiping Allah.
It's a very serious sin, yes.
You just mentioned if somebody could give money to the masjid, they can use that money and like running the masjid.
Right, yes.
But Sheikh, that's forbidden in Islam. Like, you get in the interest, like, say you got $500,000. And they'll give you some money, then you might say to yourself, hey, Imam, I'll bring you to the masjid and I'll tell the sheikh over there, use the, for the, get napkins from the bathroom, or get a mat. But isn't that still haram, sheikh?
Is it haram to accept the charity of a Muslim who's doing sin and earning his money?
Say, you got money in the bank, and they'll give you like, say $5,000. Isn't that haram for a Muslim to receive that money?
If the money is, there's an issue here. If the money was earned in an impermissible way, selling alcohol, taking riba, then the sin is on the person who earned it. And the person who receives it as a gift or receives it as a charity, they don't have any sin. The sin will be on the person who earned it. If the money is stolen, you know that somebody is in a government position and they just stole some money from some people and they give it to you, you cannot accept it in that case. Because in that case, the sin, the money itself, it doesn't belong to the person who gave it to you. So then in that case, you wouldn't accept it. But that would only be if the item itself was a stolen item. But if the item was acquired in a way that is sinful, then the sin is on the one who acquired it. The masjid accepting the money or not, that would be related more to da'wah purposes. They want to...
The question is on myself, like receiving the money.
Yes.
It's haram.
No, it's not haram for you to receive it.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I don't know if you're like I said, the bank gives you the interest. It's haram to receive.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct, yes.
Maybe you understand.
Okay, yes.
You shouldn't leave it to them either.
That's right. If you can avoid putting it in a riba based, in an interest account, put it in some kind of Islamic investment. Even a checking account, it's still the bank is using it for riba. So it's a darura, it's a necessity. If you have to do it, you can do it. So you safeguard your money. But better than that is if a person can put it in a place where it is not being used by a riba institution. You know, if it's being invested in a halal way. You know, if one can find such an investment, that would be much better, inshallah. But if the, as the brother mentioned, if some banks give interest on every account, don't leave the interest for the bank. You know, Shaykh Ibn Baz, they did some research, and they found that some Muslims, they have a lot of money, some Muslims, they were leaving the interest for the bank. They said, we don't want the interest. So the bank, according to the bank rules, they said, whatever money that is left in an account for a certain amount of time, we give it to a charity. And they found out that the charity they were giving it to was a Christian missionary organization. So they were using that money to go and convert Muslims to Christianity. So definitely if a person, if the money has already been given to them, we shouldn't put it in an interest account seeking the interest. It's better to put it in a checking account, and it's better than that is not putting it in the bank at all. But if the interest is already earned, or somebody earned it, then they should give it away to a charity, inshallah.
You better know it.
Right, exactly. Say you found out at the end of the year, they paid you an interest, they sent you a slip, this is the interest you earned. Don't give the money back to the bank. Take the money and give it to a charity organization, a masjid or poor people, and you won't have any sin, you won't have any reward. Allah is pure, He only accepts what is pure. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَفْعَلُ إِلَى الطَّيِّبْ. So the Allah, He only accepts what is pure. But the person will be absolved of the sin, inshaAllah ta'ala. InshaAllah ta'ala. JazakAllah khair.
One more question.
Sure.
You mentioned the house.
Yes.
If somebody bought a house and then you find out that it's haram, and then you said, you can keep the house.
And this is what Dar al-Iftah, they give that woman.
What if he has like 30 years of mortgage?
The initial sale is valid. The initial sale is valid. The person bought the house and he made it on a series of payments. That's valid. The additional percentage is invalid. But the actual sale itself is permissible, is valid, and it's not null, it's valid, even though it had some interest in it. So if a person realizes they did something haram, if they can get out of paying the interest, they should. But if there's no way to get out of it, they pay it out of compulsion. They're being compelled to pay it. They don't have to refinance it. This is also with the dollar of that, they said that you don't have to refinance it, especially under questionable circumstances. The Islamic financing still is very, very questionable, the way that they're doing it. So they said they regret what happened in the past. They don't do it again in the future. They stop, you know, as much as they can now. And, you know, what they're compelled to do, they won't be accountable for, inshallah. Inshallah, Allah knows best. Allah knows best. JazakAllah khair. If it's right.
They find the borrowing money from people, and so they can clean the.
Because the debtor doesn't have to pay that interest.
Yeah. If you can get out of the interest in whatever way you can, that's better, definitely. But you don't have to take out other loans to pay it off. They said the scholars, they said you didn't have to do that, unless it's easy for you. Unless you know somebody. Normally, it wouldn't be that easy to get, you know, a big loan to pay it off. But if somebody would give you a loan to pay it off without interest, that's great. That's perfect, you know. But you don't have to, you know, sell the house in order to get the money to pay off the loan. You don't have to do that, no.
But Imam, would it be better, say, for example, the individual, he purchased the house,
yes,
which would be considered, you know, like a luxury loan, or he overbought, of which
right,
he bought.
Right, yes.
Later
yes.
on, he finds out the interest is not allowed. He can downsize.
The sale is valid.
Yeah.
The purchase of the house is valid. If he wants to sell it now and buy a smaller house without interest, that's fine. He can do that, but he's not required to. Because the sale took place already. And he doesn't have to invalidate that sale. You know, the sale is done, and if he wants to refinance through whatever means, he can, but it's not obligatory.
This would be better for him, because I thought I read something where it says it's not recommended to be in debt constantly, you know, have debt.
Okay, that would be a different issue. That would be a different issue, yeah.
30 years.
Right. That's a different issue. Being in debt itself is definitely, it's better to avoid getting into debt in the first place. You know, it's definitely good to avoid that. So definitely if a person, paying off the debt as soon as possible is recommended. Is, you know, something that is recommended, you know, if a person can do that. But, you know, say the common case of a person who bought his own personal family home on interest, and he didn't know, or he heard some fatwa, he thought it was allowed, then he finds out it's haram, and it's his only family home where his family and kids are living. He doesn't have to refinance it in that case, but he should regret what he did, not do it again in the future, and if he can, he should stop doing any dealings with interest as much as he's able. Fattakullah mastata'tum. Fear Allah as much as you're able. In that case where he's not able to stop the bank from charging him interest, then the sale is already done and he pays what they compel him to pay in that case, inshallah ta'ala. Allah knows best. This is a ruling that the scholars gave, inshallah ta'ala.
What if it was an investment
property,
not your family?
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad. Yes.
Yes. Even the investment property, the issue here is not, you know, the idea, the necessity is both sides. That's not the issue involved here from a fiqh perspective. The fiqh perspective is, was the initial contract valid or not? And the initial contract is valid. You know, the sale was done. Even if you bought a store on a sale with interest on it, the sale is valid. The store is yours. And now they're charging an interest. You should, you regret that you got into the interest-based loan, but whatever you bought is yours. Whatever you bought is yours. If you don't need the store, it's not your means of livelihood, and you can stop paying riba by getting rid of the store, that's good. You know, that's something good. But if it's your only means of livelihood, you don't have to get rid of it. This is basically what the scholars they say.
Is there a lot of Muslims that don't know riba is haram?
There's probably some Muslims that heard some fatwas. You know, that they might have been misunderstood, or they thought they might have heard that, you know, from somewhere or another. It's okay, we live in the West, it's different than... But actually, living in the West or the East doesn't make a difference. You know, the scholars, they didn't really pay any attention to that, because even in the Muslim countries, the same fitna is there. There's riba banks everywhere now in the Muslim world. So the same issue has been dealt with the scholars in the Muslim countries, and they also said the same thing. You know, it's not allowed. There's no necessity. And there, the necessity might even be greater. You have youth that cannot get married unless they own a house. And it's very, very hard to find a job or to work or earn money. It's even greater need over there. You can't get married without a house. And there's, you know, nobody will marry their daughter without renting a house. So you have to own the house. And even then, they didn't give the leeway for buying on the riba. So the view there, that it's there is some scholars that said that, you know, but it's considered a weak view on the issue. And Allah knows best, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Allah knows best. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. Oh, sure, brother.
Is there any sin in working in a mixed environment?
Someone comes, oh, you don't, brother. Keep out of here. Please have a seat, inshallah. Okay, the working in the mixed environment, the scholars, they say that Allah told us to lower the gaze. The Sahaba, this means there's two things. There's buying and selling, which the women and men did in the time of the Prophet. They bought and sold from each other. But then you have anything that leads to zina. and you have a ruling in Islamic law, whatever leads to haram is haram. And so they have the closing the pathways to evil. So a man can deal with a woman, but he should lower his gaze. He should avoid being alone with her in the room. That's a big fitna also. He has to avoid shaking hands with her. And he should avoid loose talk. It should be professional. When you talk to the woman, get to the point, you know, not in a flirtatious way, you know, and avoiding anything that could lead to something. But the Sahaba, they did buy and sell, the wives of the Prophet and other women, they went to the market and things like that. They did do that. So, you know, if you can follow those protocols, inshallah, then they'll be. I mean, it's almost impossible to find a job where you don't deal with women at all. You know, but yeah, you know, try to lower the gaze. You know, you don't have to be mean. You know, Walaikum Salaam, brother. Jazakallah khair. Good to see you, brother. Salaam. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, so, you know, that's basically the issue. You want to avoid anything that will draw you to the zina. So if you find, like, where you feel like you're being tempted, then you want to, like, cut it off. You know, you don't want to continue in that conversation. But, you know, you can deal professionally with a woman. Like, say you're the cashier and a woman comes to the store, you try to lower the gaze. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to, like, throw the money at her. You can put it on the counter, or you can show it, you know, do it in a nice way. You know, but the main thing, the reason why mixing is forbidden, it's because it leads to the zina. It leads to the zina. You know, so anything that leads to the path of zina, one should be careful about. Should be very, very careful about. Allah knows best.